Well, Happy New Year. New Year's is a great time to gain direction. As Pastor Nate mentioned, a lot of times we set resolutions, or I like to say goals. Some of that may involve repentance, where we repent, where we reset, where we reform, where we regroup and we refine, right? And gain direction. Many of us have set goals for this year. Maybe you've set a weight loss goal or a fitness goal. That's common. All the commercials now have shifted to the health and fitness matters. And maybe you've set some health and fitness goals, maybe some schooling goals. Maybe you're just want to get through the year or graduate or get that degree. Or pass, whatever it may be. You have some schooling goals, get through that. Maybe some work goals. You have a project that's due, or maybe you're looking for a promotion or a raise of some sort. Maybe some reading goals, so many books in a year, or Bible reading. Maybe some of you have set a goal to read through the Bible in a year. Maybe personal best goals. Spiritual growth goals. I'm going to touch on this in a little bit, but maybe there's a goal that you say, you know what, I really need to deal with my anger. And I need to go to the Word of God and grow out from that anger and love toward others and becoming a giver. Maybe you need to grow in the area of giving. We're going to be talking about the matter of stewardship this next month, managing our lives and our various aspects of our lives, including our finances. So maybe you have some spiritual growth goals. Maybe you have some family goals, financial goals. It's a great time to think these things through. And I want to encourage you to do that in light of the Word of God. And even in that, as a church, I think it's good for us to look ahead. What does God have for us in 2024 and the days ahead? And I'd like us to take our Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. We want to look at this passage for some ministry direction for the new year. In Colossians 1, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. He establishes, in and through the book, he establishes the supremacy of Christ. In verse 18, Paul says that Jesus should have the preeminence in all things, that he should be first place. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So whatever goal you're setting or whatever you're looking for in 2024, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you as well. I hesitate to use the word fall into place, but the priorities are set straight when you put Jesus first, right? And that in itself provides great direction for the year ahead. We could probably just say, okay, Matthew 6:33 and Colossians chapter 1, the supremacy of Christ, let's close in prayer for 2024, right? Well, we want to talk a little bit more. So, in verse 21, he reminds the Colossian believers that at one time they too were alienated from God in their sin. But now we're reconciled to God. Their relationship with God was made right in and through his great salvation, and that Paul was a minister of that gospel. That's the good news. And in verses 24 to 29, the passage upon which we're going to focus this morning, God, through Paul, provides the church with some specific direction, which I believe are going to help us stay focused as a church for 2024 and even beyond. As a church and ministry, we are in the business, if I can use that word carefully, of reaching people. And we want to be effective. We're to go and make disciples. We want to be effective in accomplishing that task. And in doing so, our take-home thought this morning is make much of Jesus in reaching people. Make much of Jesus in reaching people. I've had a few conversations with these folks over here at Pink Power, and some of you may have as I did, the cars are almost all gone. There's like one. Did they go out of business? What happened? Got to talking to the owners and so on. No. We were just letting our employees use their own vehicles and so on, and just cutting some overhead and all. But on their door, my point is, I jog past there in the mornings, and I look on their door, and it says 450 people, 450 lives touched this week by you. Or 495 lives touched by you this week. And I think that's great for a business. But as we think of our business, I want to be careful there, the task that has been entrusted to us, we want to touch lives for Jesus, right? And not I, but Christ through me. We want others to see Jesus. Again, I'm not being critical of them. That's their work, and they're doing their work. But I'm talking about as a ministry, as a church, make much of Jesus in reaching people. And the crux of today's passage is to make Jesus fully known to others. A passion for Jesus gives the impetus for ministering to people. Look at verses 3 through 5, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Your faith in Jesus is the impetus behind your love for all the saints, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I think of that behind, that has to be so important behind what we do as a church. We could have all kinds of gimmicks and things going on to get more and more people in this building. And I think it's great when we see the church grow because of reaching people and lives being touched. But it must be for Jesus, right? It's about Him. He must be first. That's what Paul is pointing us to here. Now, in order to do that, we need to make sure that that's priority in our lives. We won't be effective in reaching and ministering people if you and I don't have a passion for Jesus. It's a great time to evaluate that. This is a great day to evaluate, where am I in my relationship with God as I head into a new year? Really, it's something that we ought to do every day, right? Where am I in relationship with God? Do I have a passion for Jesus as I go throughout my day and touch 495 lives, or however many that might be? Now, reaching people is a matter of proclaiming the whole counsel of God so as to present each one perfect in Christ. The idea there is complete. We're talking about discipleship. We want to look at some actions involved, as we see in this passage, some actions involved of making much of Jesus in reaching people. Look at verse 24. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what was lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." So we're going to look at some actions. Here's the first actions, and that is suffering. You may go, what? Okay, it's interesting. When Paul starts talking about reaching people, he talks about the suffering involved in doing so. Now, that doesn't seem to be like the best recruiting strategy, does it? You know, come to Jesus and serve him and you're going to suffer, okay? And yet, Paul says, join me in reaching people. And it's going to involve some suffering. The suffering here, verse 24, deals with all kinds of suffering, not the least of which is emotional suffering. When you deal with people, you're going to have some disappointments, right? There's emotions involved in that. People are going to let you down. They don't show up. They don't grow up. And sometimes they blow up, right? And yet, notice, Paul says, now, it's like an outburst. Now hear this. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. So a couple thoughts here. First of all, rejoice in suffering. Again, it might be a head scratcher, but it literally means rejoice in the middle of suffering. There's the emotional, but there may be some physical suffering that may be involved in ministering to people. Some hurts, disappointments. Paul talked about many of his sufferings, and you can jot this down, if you can look it up quickly if you'd like. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. Paul rejoiced in the middle of hard work, frequently being in prison, flogged severely, exposed to death again and again. 5 times he received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times he was beaten with rods, stoned once, shipwrecked 3 times, spent a night and day in the open sea, constantly on the move, in danger from rivers, from bandits, in danger from his own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers, in danger evidently everywhere he went. Labored and toiled and often went without sleep, knew hunger and thirst and have often went without food, had been cold and naked, faced daily the pressures of his concern for all the churches. Paul's saying, you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad I could suffer for you in your place in order to present you the gospel as well as gospel to others. If that's what it's going to take for people to come to Jesus, he's saying, I rejoice in that. Man, what a testimony. How could he rejoice? How could you rejoice? Well, realize the purpose for suffering. Another thought here. There's purpose in suffering. Paul mentions 2, verse 24, for Jesus' sake. The suffering, again, making much of Jesus. I'm doing this because of Jesus. I'm going through this hardship. I'm going through this difficulty. I want to reach people for Jesus, and it's hard. I get hurt, and it's uncomfortable. But I'm doing it for Jesus. Verse 24, the second part of verse 24. In my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body. Paul is saying, I do my part in sharing in the persecutions of Jesus. Jesus said, you think of what Jesus went through and the ridicule and the suffering that he went through. And Paul says, if he did that, I'm willing to do that. Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He's not talking so much about Christ's afflictions at the cross, because that's complete. This is referring to the persecutions. And his people continue to experience that persecution, that hostility in this broken world on behalf of Jesus. It's really the pressure of living for Jesus. You feel that. When you go to talk to somebody about Jesus, you're kind of like, I don't know how they're going to receive this. I'm not sure what they're going to say. I'm not sure if they're going to slam the door in my face or they're going to cut me off. I don't know, but I'm willing to go through that because I want my friend, my neighbor, my coworker, my classmate. I want them to hear about Jesus. It's the pressure of living for Jesus. We do it for Jesus' sake, but we also do it for the church's sake, the body. Verse 24 again, in my flesh I'm filling up what was lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Suffering for Jesus benefits the body. It benefits the church. A man by the name of Kuwa Bashir, a Sudanese youth pastor, stood before Muslim guards while they were pouring acid on his hands. And he said, if I die, I will be very happy because I will leave an example for other Christians to follow in my wake. it's the idea of, if he can stand for Jesus under that kind of persecution, I can do that too. It's a motivation. But also for the sake of the church, in that the building up of the church, the strengthening of the church, but adding to the church for the sake of the church. To carry on, even if they're suffering. So the first action of making much of Jesus in our efforts, our desire to reach people, is suffering. The next one is found in verse 25. Speaking of the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The second one is serving. You and I are here to serve. It's not about what can I get out of this church and ministry. Now, the church ought to minister to your hearts, and you ought to be encouraged and strengthened by the ministry of the church. However, it's not what can I get out of it, but more about what can I do to serve and minister to the church. Teresa and I went out to eat just the other night, and we really try not to be high maintenance. But, you know, we ordered our meal, and we like to share. We share everything but our teeth, okay? But anyway, we shared our meal, and... could we get an extra salad with that? And then we would like our dressing, but we would like it on the side. And could we have an extra plate so that we could, you know, share our meal? And back and forth, and, you know, refills and so on. And then, could we get a box to go? And so we get a box to go. Oh, and by the way, could we have a lid for the extra salad dressing that we have? And we're like, oh, I'm sorry, there's just one more thing, and we forgot, you know. And he said, it's okay. That's what I'm here for. You know, how refreshing is that? You know, instead of, okay, you know. No, he's like, hey, it's okay. That's what I'm here for. You know, you go to Chick-fil-A. Now, that's not where I took her out to eat, but... you go to Chick-fil-A and you say thank you, and they say, my pleasure. Right? Is that your attitude and my attitude in ministering to the body? Hey, it's my pleasure. It may be inconvenient. I mean, that poor guy, he ran back and forth several times because of our requests, and he said, hey, that's what I'm here for. There may be some inconveniences that you face because of serving the Lord in ministry, but that's okay. It's my pleasure. That's what I'm here for. And that's the spirit in which, and I think of so many of you in your ministry here at FBC. Friday, I looked out my back window, and I'm like, what's going on? There are cars, a couple trucks parked at the back of the church. I'm like, what's going on over there? And I thought, you know what? I looked at the church calendar, and I can find out what's going on. It's, oh, Center Shot training. And here, some individuals had given up of their time to get trained to be involved in our Center Shot archery program so as to minister to children in a very unique way through archery, Jesus. Saturday morning, I thought, what's going on? Oh, I looked at the Center Shot, 2 days of training. I thought, man, you know, isn't that something that there are individuals who are willing to give up some of their time, their free time? And lo and behold, I heard we had some people came from Pennsylvania for this training. Inconvenient? Yeah. But you know, it's worth it. Because they want to make much of Jesus. And those of you who are involved in that training, I want to encourage you that it's not just about archery techniques and all that goes into that. It's about Jesus, right? And so many of you, whether it's doing the sound system, those of you who are involved in the nursery and teaching children's ministries and adult Bible studies and classes and life groups and just all the things that go on, it's worth it because of Jesus. And we do it for one another's sake. Serving goes beyond the call of duty, and we're happy to do so. So think of that in the context of your ministry. And I'll tell you what, if you're not ministering faithfully, you're missing out. You're really missing out. And I just encourage you to think through how you could minister through the ministry of FBC. A couple thoughts on this. You're commissioned by God as a servant. Verse 25, he says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you. Paul was arrested on the way to Damascus, blinded by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, commissioned to go specifically to the Gentiles. You and I are commissioned by God to be servants. God is the master, giving you and me a commission. And as stewards, you and I are to see that it is carried out. What is it? The Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Everyone, every last one of you who is a believer, we're commissioned to go and make disciples. But you're also commissioned to minister God's word. The stewardship from God was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. We're not entitled to just dispense personal opinions or man's philosophies or ways of doing things or just warm fuzzies and try to make everybody feel good. That's not what we're commissioned to do. We minister God's word in its entirety. That means the love of God along with the suffering that may be involved in serving him. That's a big reason why we have care and discipleship. We teach care and discipleship a couple times a year. We've been doing it a couple times a year. We're looking as to when to do it this next year again. That's intense discipleship, biblical counseling. First of all, as we study through that, it's how does God's word minister to my heart to help me with my life and my growth to become more like Jesus? And to the extent that I am changing and growing, to that extent, I want to pass that on and help others do the same. It's what we do through care and discipleship. I encourage you to consider taking that class next time we offer that. But that... And we want to see how we can do that in reaching out to the community as well. How can we offer help and hope to the community around us through his word? Because we want to make the word of God fully known. So, we have suffering. Another action is serving. Look at verses 25 to 27. Another action of making much of Jesus and reaching people, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Another action here is proclaiming. Been kind of dancing around all of this. But God desires his complete message to be proclaimed. A couple thoughts. God's word is to be proclaimed. To make the word of God fully known. We can't just preach what we want to preach, but we preach the whole counsel of God. We don't just pick and choose that which we think will be niceties to womp up good feelings for everybody. There are some times where the word of God steps on our toes, right? We need that. We must preach the whole counsel of God to make the word of God fully known. Verse 26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations. It's a message that was once hidden, but now revealed to his saints. There were religions back then that kept truths hidden from common man. And the mysteries were only revealed to a select few who had reached certain stages. And there are some secret organizations that are kind of like that. But not with Jesus. Paul uses mystery as a paradox because it was hidden but now revealed. And he points out that the mystery is disclosed, verse 27, to them, to the saints, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles, the matter of choosing is by God's grace, not by merit, not anything you and I have done when we come to Jesus. You can't earn your way, you can't work your way to Jesus. It's by his grace that we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift, not by works, so that no one should boast. It's a gift that's given because of what he did on the cross, through his death, burial, and resurrection, not by what you do, not by your efforts, not by your strength. Not I, but Christ in me. But he chose to make known how great among the Gentiles how are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Jesus, the gospel, overflows the barriers of race and social strata. It's Jews. The great mystery, one of the great mystery aspects of this mystery is Jews and Gentiles coming together as a church. You talk about differences. And yet in Christ, they come together. Through Jesus, we come together as a church. And that means we may need to set aside some differences to say, you know what? We're going to worship together. It's not about race. It's not about social strata. It's not about we don't worship with your kind. It's about Jesus and laying aside those differences to come together in unity as a church. It's a mystery. How does that happen? Jesus, right? It's because of Jesus. When you focus on the right things, it overcomes those barriers. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's another thought, and that's just pointing out some essentials of proclamation. First of all, know what you believe. Make the word of God fully known. Do you know what you believe and why? That's a big reason why we offer classes, studies, Bible studies on Sunday mornings. How are you going to make decisions on ethical issues? We want to help you with that. You think of 1 and 2 Peter talking about suffering, right? Well, we're going through 1 and 2 Peter. You may have a question about that. Man, I don't get that. You know, that's kind of, go to Brett's class. He's going to talk about how, through 1 and 2 Peter, how you can endure the suffering for the cause of Christ. You get the word of God through the preaching, the teaching, the ministry in our children and youth classes. Focus on the word of God. Take advantage of the Bible studies, women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies. Our life groups. It's a great time to start in a life group. Okay? We've got brochures out there that tell you what life groups meet when. Get involved in a life group, and there's great fellowship. That's how you can get connected with people and then you learn from one another in those life groups. And what we try to do is we try to teach truth applied, right? It's not just I need to know more about the book of Malachi or study of Hezekiah, he's a king, or whatever. You know, it's how do those truths apply to living my life? I had a pastor friend that said, I always ask people, what's coming out of the pipe, right? What's coming out of the pipe? How are you living what you believe? Do you know what you believe? And are you putting it into practice? And don't be intimidated. John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Another essential is proclaim Jesus, not a system. We proclaim him. Him we proclaim. Jesus is not a religion. He's not a system of thought. He's not a mere ideology. It's a difference between a couple that just hangs out and a couple that's committed. You talk to a couple, guy and gal, we just hang out. Well, tell me about your friend. Oh, you know, they're nice and we do things together. We just enjoy being together. We do things together. But you talk to the couple that's committed. Hey, tell me about your friend. Oh, he or she, they're just awesome. They're beautiful. You know, I just love them. We sit around and we talk about everything. And I just love the way he or she smiles. That friendly touch and pat and just they listen. He or she listens to me. Just and we share a conversation. We have things in common, and when we don't have things in common, I like to hear what he does, and she likes to hear what I do. And we they're just beautiful. They go on and on. You can't get them to quit talking because they're committed. It's a relationship. You see, that's the way it is with Jesus. We're not talking about a religion. See, a religion just does things. It goes to church. Yeah, we do things with other people. It's kind of like we hang out. We go to church and we pray at certain times and we do certain rituals and then we're kind of done. No, with Jesus, it's different. You know, when I read his word, that's when he talks to me. And I know he cares for me because I can cast all my care upon him because he cares for me. And I know he's with me because he says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's beautiful. And when I sing the songs and the hymns, it just warms my heart because it's talking about my relationship with him. He means so much to me. Would you like to meet my Jesus? See, we're not proclaiming a system. We're proclaiming Jesus, a person with whom you can have a relationship. We proclaim him. Proclamation. Another action. Verse 28. Him we proclaim. Him, Jesus, we proclaim. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. In this passage, the final action to discuss is discipling. We touched on that just a few moments ago. But as we look at this passage, there's some things that we do in discipling others. The first one is admonish. The word here, I don't like to always throw Greek words around, but the Greek word here is nouthetao. I might not have the right tense there. But it's the word from which we get the word nouthetic, which our biblical counseling used to be called nouthetic counseling. And that word was chosen because it's a complex Greek word. It has the idea of admonishing and warning and exhorting, but also encouraging and strengthening. And that's what's involved in ministering truth to one another. It's like kids when you're teaching them across the street. At first you might say, no, stop, well, don't go any further. That's warning, right? But okay, now hold my hand. Now here's how you do it. You look one way, you look at another, and just make sure, are there any cars coming? Okay, no cars coming. Okay, now, don't run. Hold my hand. We're going to walk because if you run, you might stumble and fall and a car may come. And so there's the teaching, there's the admonishing, there's the encouraging. Okay, hey, good job. That was great. So that's what's involved here in this discipleship. We admonish. I hope, if appropriate, this morning, as you hear the word of God, you're warned. Right? Don't go that way, go this way. Good job. Keep on keeping on. Right? But also, not only admonition, but teach with all wisdom. This has the idea of positive instruction on how to live. That's the emphasis here. The emphasis isn't on mere content, but you teach with all wisdom, every kind of wisdom, the fullest of wisdom, warning everyone and teaching everyone. It's offered to all. It's not offered to just a few. And we teach everyone with all wisdom. We teach in an intelligent manner, not with gimmicks or irrational methods, but we teach with all wisdom. I hope you see that here at FBC. And then in discipling, we point toward maturity. Verse 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The idea is that ministry works to develop maturity in believers, and ultimately mature believers. Everyone here is expected to be growing. I encourage you in this next year to say, you know what, here's an area in my life. God's been putting his thumb on this area in my life. I need to grow. I need to grow in my faith. There are some things with which I struggle, and I need to be working on putting aside the old self, which is struggling, and putting on the new man, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, and grow in my faith. Maybe there's a life-dominating sin where you say, you know what, this is the year. By God's grace and with his help, I want to overcome. And you go to school on that area of your life. Set some spiritual goals. How does God want me to grow? How does God want you to grow spiritually in this next year? And again, I'm not talking about just Bible reading goals. That may be good. But an area of your life where you may need to grow, where you take what you have read and apply it to your life. We're all expected to grow. And then finally, verse 29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. In making much of Jesus and reaching people, we need to be striving. How do we keep on keeping on? I just so appreciate Pastor Doug and his ministry with us. Keep on keeping on. I have a dear friend here at FBC. When I was going through some challenges, and even still going through some challenges, he said, Dale, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to his word. That's another way of saying keep on keeping on. How do we do that? By labor. This indicates in the text here, verse 29, wearisome toil to the point of exhaustion. Not being tired of doing, but be tired in the doing. It's like a runner in a marathon. Now, I've never run a marathon. And in fact, I was talking to one of our guys, and I used to say, yeah, I'm a runner. And he said, well, I used to run, but now I'm a jogger. I am a jogger, all right? The marathon, I talked to Tim McDaniel, okay? In the marathon, you hear about them hitting the wall. You hit the wall. And when you hit the wall, you want to give up. But the true marathoner keeps going. Runs through the wall. Scripture says, don't be weary in well-doing. You'll reap a harvest if you don't faint, if you don't give up. So we strive. Have you ever done that in your work for the Lord? Yeah, there's times, you know, we had a friend years ago, we'd give him a call and say, can I talk to Bob? This is Pastor Dale. They'd go, it's the Baptists again, you know. He's just teasing. But, you know, yeah, there's times when in ministry where we get tired, but we keep on. Why? Because of Jesus. We make much of Jesus. So by labor, by struggle, the Greek word here is agonizomai, from which we get the word agony. I struggle with all his energy. Agonizomai. It's like an athlete agonizing against the enemy. I faced that when I was a wrestler in high school. You know, you have that opponent. You're trying to pin him and he's trying to pin you. Listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the evil forces of this dark age. We're not wrestling against a physical force. We're wrestling against the world and the flesh and the devil. And there may be some struggle and some agonizing that goes on there. But how do we do it? With energy. We labor. We struggle. But we do it with energy. The energy of God that so powerfully works in us. The word here is dunamos, from which we get the word dynamite. That's his energy that powerfully works in us. It's effective energy, effective power to fulfill a task. It's above human ability. It's taking hold with God. You can do what he expects of you to accomplish in his work because of him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength, right? It's through Christ, yet not I, but Christ in me. Making much of Jesus and reaching people here at FBC is through your efforts by his strength. By his strength. The strength that he provides requires constant, continual dependency upon him. We make much of Jesus 2024 in our efforts to reach others. Let's ask for his help even now. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this time in your word, for your help and your strength that we can claim and look to in the days ahead as we launch into 2024. And I pray that as commitments and goals are being set personally, that even as a church, that we would focus on making much of Jesus. And may that be applied to reaching people. And that we would do that to your glory. Work in our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like folks to be praying for you, or you'd like someone to pray with you about maybe a goal, or maybe you're not certain of your relationship with Jesus. You have questions about what that's all about. Eternal life. We want to share that with you today too. I'll be down front here. Just come down front. I'll have someone take you aside and pray with you. After the service, I'll be out in the entryway and we'll do the same. But make commitments, set goals in your heart, asking for God's help to reach those to his glory.